All right. How's everybody doing this? You guys got hope this morning? All right. I'm going to tell you, I am glad to be here. I missed last week, and you need to know, I share this anytime with you. When I miss, I really miss, because you guys are my family, and I really miss being here. But this week, those who don't know, last week I was out of town. I was with my grandkids. My daughter took a trip. Son-in-law had some training to go to, so I went up to Washington, drove them back up, and I don't know, do you call babysitting teenagers babysitting? You know, I was more of a chauffeur, and as I was doing that, I was going, I don't know which is harder, taking care of teenagers or pastoring a church. I couldn't figure out which was more difficult to do. But I'm going to tell you, it's good to be back. It's good to be here. I'm excited about this new series of messages that we're going to begin. But I want to ask, how many went to the movie last night, yesterday? How many enjoyed the movie yesterday? All right. My prayer was, as I shared with you and Dan kind of wrapped up the series last week, that I wanted you to go to that movie, and I wanted you to sit there during that movie, War Room, and go, that's what the pastor's been talking about. I enjoyed the movie. But Clara? Anybody? Clara? That was my grandmother. Literally. I was talking to my mother-in-law after the service, and my mother-in-law says she can remember going to the prayer room at her church. Because my mother-in-law went to the church of my grandmother, and just remember the prayer room was just electric. My grandmother is what they called, you know, Baptists are kind of supposed to be kind of a little on the quiet side, right? You know, my grandma was called a shouting Baptist, okay? You know, and so I really enjoyed it. Again, so there's some, if you get your prayer room going or you want to get your prayer room going, we got some starters out there. Dan put them out last week, and there's some starter papers out there, things you can pray for, things that you can just hang on your wall in your room or hang it on your mirror in your kitchen or kitchen, bathroom, yeah, or put it on a cabinet in the kitchen about prayer and some things to pray for. I encourage you, we're going to leave them out there for a few weeks so you can pick them up and get your prayer room going, because we really believe, I'm going to tell you as we go through the message this morning, if you want to have hope, it's going to have to start with prayer, okay? It's going to have to start with prayer. So I'm going to begin this. We got 6 weeks, because in 6 weeks, we're going to start our 40-day study. Anybody? And just in case you know, we're going to be getting ready to share the Lord's Supper on that at the end of that 40-day study. So we're going to have a great time. But I got 6 weeks to get there, and I want to talk about hope. I want us to kind of pause, and I don't know about you, but this summer's kind of been a really difficult time. It's been kind of a challenging time this summer, you know, with all the things going on, and I look around, and I want you to imagine this. I want you to kind of visualize in your mind, there's a long drought. The ground is turning brown. The lakes are drying up. The rivers are running slow, and there's this drought, you know, and up for us here right now in California, it don't take much of an imagination to see that. You can walk out the door and see a lot of brown grass. But here's what I want you to think about. Maybe your summer, and maybe right now in life, life looks a little dried up. You know, maybe right now in life, it kind of looks like you're just kind of on the low side, just like that lake is on the low side. You're just kind of trying to figure your way through, and it's kind of rough right now, and things just seem a little low. You know, things. You know, maybe life's kind of running in slow motion, and you just. It's just kind of dry in your life right now, and you know, and you're just wrestling with life, and you know, I'm watching the news, and I look around our world, and this is what kind of drew me to this, as I look around, and I see the news in the world, and it's not pleasant to read the newspaper or to look on the internet and see all the tragedies going on. Somebody walks up and shoots a cop while he's pumping gas in his car. You know, some people drive through town and shoot up a house, and a girl doing homework on her bed is killed, you know, and we read these stories, you know, and then we see our Supreme Court and some of the rulings, or we watch these videos on Planned Parenthood, and we see all this stuff coming out, and it's kind of like, what's happening? You know, we have this great, beautiful country called America, and it's kind of like, where's America going? You know, what's happening in America right now? You know, and we look at this, and it's kind of like, you feel hopeless. Anybody? You know, I kind of felt like, and I said this several weeks ago, that some, I kind of feel like an exile in my own country. Anybody? You know, I'm a Christian living in America. We are called a Christian nation, and I kind of feel like I'm kind of feel like I'm in exile. You know, we're decisions, and they're saying, and it's kind of hopeless. And maybe some of your thoughts, and I've heard some people talking, well, is this the end of time? You know, are we in the last days? You know, is the trumpet going to sound and Jesus is coming back? You know, here's all the prophecies. I read people putting out things on Book of Revelation, you know, this and this and this, and putting these charts back out again and these pictures back out again. And it's like, where are we going? You know, and then you come to church, and sometimes in the churches it's even hopeless. You know, even in the church, we're just kind of struggling through. How do we fit in? You know, our culture's changing, and we're this postmodern world, and we wrestle with all these things of where the world's going, and this is acceptable, and this isn't acceptable, and you got to watch what you say. I was reading now, one of the universities, I'm not going to mention the university, one of the universities is they are not going to use him and her anymore. They created words like Z. Anybody familiar? How do we fit into this world, and we wrestle? But now let's not just talk about the world. What about our own lives? What about personally? You know, you got so much financial burden that you're looking around and you're going, I just need to win the lottery to get a breath. You know, or you're wrestling with some relationship that you had dreams of, this relationship that you envisioned where it was going, and then all of a sudden it's like, what happened? And we're going through life, and these things are happening. These situations, you know, maybe we even lied to ourselves. You sat there and go, you know what, I can get through this, I can do this, it isn't as bad as I thought it was. But you know inside that, oh man, it's, are we at a point where we're just kind of hopeless? You know, it's just never going to change. You know, we're at that dry spot, we're looking at the dead grass in front of our house, and we're dead inside. It's hope. So here's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about hope. Where do we find hope? Where can I go, and where can I find that there's something positive? Anybody? That there's something good. There's something looking in front of me. There's hope in front of me. Where do I turn? I got a list here. I want to look at these real quick. I didn't put the verses. I just gave you the words. I want you to do homework, all right? I think a good pastor now is going to have to give you guys homework, okay? So you got to look these verses. I gave you the reference, and you can go home and look them up. Because I put here, the Bible warns us of some false hopes. The Bible lays out some things that people put hope in that never works. How about this first one here? Military might. If we just have a strong, now you need to know, I'm a campaigner for a strong military. My son's in the Army, all right? We have people that served in the service. But my hope is based on the military might. It's based on my strength. I'm strong. I can handle this. You know, I'm a man. I'm going to go see War Room, and I'm not going to cry. I have to tell you something. I had seen that movie 3 times. That was my 4th time. And I was crying because I know what the next scene was going to be. You know, when she cleared that house out and threw Satan out of her house, I'm sitting there crying. I don't know about you guys. I'm sitting there crying, and I'm in the, here it comes. Yeah. Military, I'm strong, I can do this. No. How about wisdom? Wisdom, I'm smart. I remember this conversation I had one time with teenagers, and we were having a conference, and just kind of give you an idea, our conference was dealing on promiscuity, you know, with teenagers, sex, you know, you wait till you get married, right? Anybody? You're supposed to wait till you get married? And we were talking about that, and in the midst of that conversation, one of the kids goes, well, I'm smart enough not to go too far. And my question to him was this: you ever seen a smart girl pregnant? And it's like, silence. You know, I'm smart. I got it all figured out. How many, you know, I'm smart. I can work through this. Wisdom. I'm going to tell you, wisdom's not going to bring you hope. Military might. How about righteousness? I'm a good person. If you're just a good person. Anybody know good persons that suffer? Anybody? Anybody besides me want to raise your hand? I mean, yeah, good people who pursue God, you know, they love God, and yet they suffer. So we put hope in these things. How about riches? If I just had a little bit more money, if my job gave me a raise, I'm looking forward to it. My wife's getting a raise at work. You know, I like that. When you work for the school district, it rolls around to June and July, you're going to raise. You know? Just a little more money. If we just get a little more money, that my hope is in my job, this next job, this new promotion, this. And we put our hope in riches. Or how about religion? I love God, and God loves me, and nothing's ever going to go wrong again, right? We just get real close to God, and God's never going to let me have another trouble in my life. Anybody? I wish it worked that way. You know? But we put our hope in, you know, I'll just go to church and just sit in church, and that's all it's going to take. And unfortunately, we don't have our metal chairs. Anybody's going to say warm a metal chair, but you don't have the warm metal chairs anymore. You know? But I'll just be a religious person. And how about the last one I put down here, law? I'll just keep the law. I'll do, you know, those Ten Commandments. Don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal, don't commit adultery, honor your father and mother, you know, don't covet. I'll just do the law. My hope is in me being a good. I'll just be good. I'm going to ask you, is there really hope in any of that? Does it really last? Put your hope in that thing. Does it really last? I mean, how many of you be in my boat? You buy a new car, brand new car, first, brand new car. I'm not talking about a new used car, all right? I'm talking about a brand new car. 2 years down the road, what do you want? I want a new car. Yeah. What's even worse, if you buy a computer, buy a tablet today, what do you want next month because a new model comes out? Yeah. See, we put our hope, have you ever put your hope in having something and you get it and you're going, oh. And 2 months down the road, you're looking at it going, why did I want that so bad? See, we put our hope in the wrong stuff. We put our hope in the wrong things. We put our hope in all this out there. And we wonder what's wrong and why and what's happening. You know, it's that dry time in our lives. It's just like, and it just seems like it's dead. Things are just draining out of my life, just like the water is draining out of the river and the lake. And life just seems draining, and it seems dry, and there's just no hope, and you don't know where to turn, and you know, is this the last days? When is Jesus? Now, I'm going to talk about that later in the series. You need to, the series has three main points. I'm going to bring two messages on, because here's today's point. If you don't have hope personally, you're not going to have hope in America, and you're not going to have hope in the church. So I'm going to talk about personal hope this morning. Next week, I'm going to talk about hope in America. And the next, in our government, and then I'm going to talk about hope in the church. So I got kind of two sermons on this. But I'm going to start today, because I'm going to tell you right now, you got to have something to build that hope on. And if your hope is built on one of these, it's not going to last. The hope has to be in something else than all these things right here. Because that stuff's going to fade away. That stuff's going to wash away. That stuff's going to dry up like the ground is dead and dry in front of my house. I was gone a week, and my lawn is dead and dried. You know, there's patches. And what's bad, just so you guys know, what's bad for me is I'm colorblind. And I don't know when the lawn turns brown, but I know when it turns white, okay? You know, that's when I know I'm in trouble. Because it's white. It's not brown. I can't tell you when it's brown. So I really know when it's dead. And I know, I feel dry. Anybody? I feel like that dry grass sometimes. What do you do? I'm going to tell you, it starts with you. And so what I want to do is I want to look at an event in Jesus' life. I want to look at a conversation Jesus had with a guy. A guy who had sat for 38 years as an invalid. 38 years. Now I'm going to tell you, some of you guys aren't even 38 years old, are you? Yeah. So can you imagine 38 years this guy sat there, an invalid, and an encounter he had with Jesus that changed his life? And I want us to think about that event and see what that says for us. Because I think many of us, you know, maybe we can walk, maybe we can think, but I think many of us here have some things that have made us invalids in our life. There's some baggage in our lives. There's some circumstances in our lives. There's some situations in our lives that's crippled us. Am I right? Some things that just chain us. That makes it hard to have hope. It makes it hard to move forward. So I want to read this story. And as I read this story, I want you to get a picture of what Jesus is saying about hope. Look at what it says. We're going to look at John chapter 5. Sometimes later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a fast of the Jews. Now there in Jerusalem, near the sheep gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda. I hope I pronounce that right. I can give me forgiveness if I don't. Which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Okay, just let me have a little side note here. Do not trust science. Okay? Did you know, I've said this before, an average middle school science book has 500 errors in it. I can bring you a sheet of paper that shows you. It's not me saying that. Somebody did a study of a science book, 500. You can't trust science. You know what they said? They said this place didn't exist. They said, here's proof the Bible is wrong. Here's proof this did not happen. They could not find this place. They're building a new place in Jerusalem, and guess what they found? They found a pool with five porches on it. Duh. I'm going to tell you, if I get a choice, science, God. Pluto's a dwarf? Yes. No, that's not Pluto. That's not one of the seven. It's a dwarf planet. No, I don't know. What is Pluto anymore? I don't know. Or God. I'm going to take this. Jesus goes by this non-existent place for some, but it's there now. They finally found it. Have a great number of disabled people used to lie. The blind, the lame, the paralyzed. And again, I want to add many of us. We might not be blind, we might not be lame, we might not be paralyzed, but maybe there's things in our life, and I'm going to talk more about this as we go through the message. Maybe there's situations, maybe something we did, maybe there's some regrets, maybe there's some sin, maybe there's some things in our life that we might not be blind, lame, and paralyzed, but we have some things that have crippled us. One was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. Like I said, some of you haven't even been alive 30. Can you imagine? You're not even that old yet. Just so you know, that's way more than half my life. Way more than half, okay? Make sure you get that. Way more than half my life. You know, 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in that condition for a long time, he asked him, now listen to this question. Do you want to get well? That's my question this morning. Do you want to get well? Do you want to have hope? Do you want to have hope in you? Do you want to have hope? Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me. Why don't you circle that little I there? Or I have. Why don't you circle I have? Sir, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. Well, I'm trying. Why don't you circle that? I'm trying to get in. Someone goes down ahead of me. Then Jesus said to him, get up, take your mat, and walk. At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and he walked. The day in which this took place was the Sabbath, and so the Jews said to the men who had been healed, it is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat. They wouldn't celebrate the guy got healed. Did you notice that? Look, Joe's walking again. Praise God. Joe's walking. He's been healed. God does him. It's Sunday. What are you doing? You're not supposed to work. Instead of celebrating, they're criticizing. Anybody ever feel that way? God does something. God moves in your life. God stirs your heart. And somebody goes out there, whoosh, here's a bucket of cold water. Yeah. God wants to bring hope. And we look around and it's dry and instead, I just drew two things out of this I want us to look at real quick. Real quick. Just so you know, this was one of my shorter sermons. Hopefully it stays that way. Yeah. But real quick, here's my first point. The opposite of self-confidence is God confidence. The opposite of self-confidence is God confidence. You notice what that guy said? I have no one to help me. I'm trying. He's caught up in the I. Me, me, me. Look what I need to do. I need to do this. He's caught up in the I. He's caught up in what he needs to do. He's caught up in himself. If only I. If this was different. If that was different. If I could just change this. And here's what I want us to think about this morning. It's not about me, and it's not about you. It's not about I. It's about God. It's about God. Let me ask you a question here. Is it the water that healed the guy, or is it God that healed the guy? God healed the guy. Did he need to get in that water? No. Had nothing to do with his healing. All he needed to do was not, I need to do this. I need to do this. I need to fix myself. I need to. No. He just needed to turn to God. You see the picture? See, our hope is built on I. Look what I have. Look what I'm trying. Look back up in that little thing. It's all about I. It's about me. When really it's about God. Just to give you a little hint, I'm excited. I'm already thinking about next week's message. I am excited. The title of next week's message, Mirror, Mirror on the Wall, Who's the Fairest of Them All? Anybody? You know I'm a Disney fanatic. So give you a little taste. I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter who's in the mirror. It matters who's on the other side of the mirror. And who's on the other side? God. See, we get caught up into our lives. We get caught up into our hurts. We get caught up in our hang-ups. We get caught up in all this stuff. Think about it. If God could only work with perfect people, what could God get done? Because there's nobody perfect. That's one thing I love about God's Word. I look back over the Scriptures, and I read God's Word. God never hide in. Just make sure you note this. When you read the Bible, just because God doesn't say somebody did something bad doesn't mean it was bad. Okay? I think we get caught up. Well, God didn't say that was wrong. Well, look what it ended up doing. Moses murdered somebody. I don't know about you. That's pretty high on the scale of being wrong. Anybody? No. David had adultery. No. Rahab lied. Moses. Not Moses, Abraham. She's my sister. She ain't your sister. Well, it's only a half-truth. I'm going to ask you, is a half-truth a lie? You know? If God could only work with those who don't have issues, those who don't have problems, who would he have to work with? You know? Paul? Paul was there wanting to murder people. He was a conspirator. I don't know. Is that a right word? Where's Emily at? She needs to help me out. Yeah. So what is God? Here's what I put. God works with a cracked pot, and I'm a cracked pot. Think about that. God isn't looking for perfect people. He's looking for you and I. Who's get off of I and get on to God. I look back over my life and I am amazed at what God has done. You know my motto verse. You got it right there. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. You guys know that. That's my motto verse. I came from a poor middle class family. 8-hour work day was not a work day. Anybody? You worked. You know, you want lunch? You go work with your dad. You want lunch? Well, we're going to finish this job. You can eat lunch as we drive to the next job. Yeah. Weekends? I honestly do not remember a time when I was not working. I remember he worked at a shop. I was shoveling sawdust underneath saw tables that made doors and stuff. And I look at my life. And I'm not going to talk about all my sin. I don't like glorifying sin. I made some mistakes in my life. Anybody else? But God changed everything. God transformed everything. He took this cracked pot and made something beautiful. Come on. Come on. You guys know what I tell my wife. She lays my clothes out for me. Son, I'm colorblind. Life lays your clothes out. She always said, man, I make you look good. I said, no, you got something. I make anything look good. You know? God made something beautiful. You know what it's called? I'll give you a little hint. Write this down. It's called Amazing Grace. Hey, anybody? Shapes it. Forms it. Starts a heart and throws a little more water on it. Come on now. You get the picture? Yeah. We need to see this. We have a past. We have issues. We have struggles. We have battles. We have regrets. We have things in our life that we wish we couldn't do. I am sure there's some of you sitting right here right now that have a horrible past that you just, it's so horrible I can't even imagine. I'm glad nobody knows. Some of you are probably sitting here right now going, I pray nobody knows my past. I pray nobody knows that what I did. And you pray about that. You know, there's this glaring inadequacy. You just feel like, I love it when I'm taking my English class and I get a B in this literature class. And when the teacher gives me my paper, he goes, I don't know how you got this B spelling the way you spell. And some of you look at my spelling when I type these PowerPoints up, right? I can talk about all my do I feel inadequate sometimes? How about every time? Well, God can't, I have these inadequacies. And you can't get over your past. There's just that past. There's things in your life. You know, nobody knows where I've been, and nobody understands what's happened, and we wrestle with all these things. But know what you're doing? You're like this man sitting there. I have nobody. I'm trying. And you're sitting there like this guy just crying out, I. You got I-itis. And what you need to do is you need to get off of I and get on God. I look over my life and I stand here because of what God did. Flunking out of high school. Literally, I had to set my counselor's office to get out of high school because I cut school so much. I was 18, could sign my own remits. No hints, kids. And I would. I'd get out of my bike, go out to the river, and I'd go fishing. That's what I was doing. And I'm ready to graduate, and it's like I'm 2.5 units short because I cut my English class too much. Can you believe I can't spell? Come into the office. Literally, all I had to do is come in the office and sit in the office. This is the 70s. They won't do that for you anymore. Yeah. But he takes that kid who goes to college and ends up with a 3.18 at junior college, a 3.3 in college, gets a master's degree and a doctorate degree. Now, who did that? Who hated reading and maybe read two books? Red Badge of Courage? Anybody? In high school? Red Badge of Courage and one other book. I can't remember what the other book is now. Tells you how good I am. I spent a week up there in the mountains with my grandkids. I'm teenagers, they sleep all day, okay? I read 1,000 pages. I read 3 books in 1 week. And I hated reading. Who made the difference? Look at this verse right here. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. You get the picture? See, we got to get off of I. Gary can do nothing. But I'm going to tell you what. I'm on a team. And he can do everything. And nothing's impossible. And guess what? I'm going to win. See, I want you to think about this morning. Well, here's what I want to do right now. I debated about doing this. I wrestled with doing this. But I'm going to do it. If you're uncomfortable, get over it. I want everybody to bow their head. Everybody bow your head. And I want you to think right now, what's that thing that's just killing you? That brown spot. Is there a regret? Is there a regret that's just drying your bones up? I want you to picture it in your mind right now. Is there that horrible thing, that horrible event that you just can't get over? I want you to picture it in your mind right now. You got it? Lord, I thank you that you are a gracious and forgiving God. And Lord, there are these here right now who are cracked and hurting and in the brown spot of the grass right now. But you are a merciful and gracious God. Lord, I ask you, because of what Jesus did on the cross, that you take that horrible, terrible regret, sin, event, whatever it is, and you forgive them. And you wash it from their minds. And you give them a new life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now I want you, if you prayed that, I want you to say thank you, Jesus, right now. Come on. I want to hear some thank you, Jesus. All right. Don't just sit there. You're not a lump on a log. But I'm going to tell you something. You're forgiven. You may be a cracked pot, but I'm going to tell you what. God's not cracked. Anybody? Anybody? You may be cracked pot, but God's not cracked. God's a whole God. And I got news for you. God knew your past. He even knew it before you did it. Think about that one. You are a child of God. I like this verse. Look at what it says. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. You are new. You hear me say this week in and week out, there's that invisible line. Right there. And you got to reach a point in your life where you say something like this. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. Look at my life, God. It's cracked. I'm tired of doing things my way, God. It just seems to crack more. It seems to get drier and dead more, God. It's cracked, God. There's this line here. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come to my life and take control. Get your eyes off yourself and get your eyes on God. Anybody? See, it's about God. You got to cross that invisible line. I don't care if you've been baptized. I don't care if you've been in church your whole life. I don't care if it's grandma and grandpa's church. I went to grandma and grandpa's. I got saved in grandma's and grandpa's church. Anybody? Yeah. That's not what saved me. My aunts and uncles were in that church. My mom and dad didn't go. I'm the only one in my family that goes to church. So my family didn't save me. My aunt and uncles didn't save me. My grandparents didn't save me. Who saved me? Jesus Christ. He's my Lord, my Savior. You may be a cracked pot, but I'm going to tell you, Jesus isn't cracked. And he's made you whole. You are a new creature. You are new in him. Get your eyes off those flaws. I'm lame. I can't walk. I'm sitting here. Nobody helps me. Why didn't anybody help me? And he's laying there. He didn't need to get in the water. He just needed to go to Jesus. That's it. That's all. Yep. And we get caught up. I can't never get anything right. I can't get this done. I can't. What? I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Who's your eyes on today? Who's your eyes on today? You may be cracked, but I'm going to tell you what. God has the duct tape to make you whole. Watch Mythbusters. They do a whole good thing with duct tape. They made a boat out of duct tape. Duct tape can fix anything. I'm an Okie. Give me duct tape and wire, and I'll fix it for you. Yeah. See, God can fix us if you cross that line. But I'm going to tell you, a lot of times we cross that line, and we carry that baggage with us. Anybody? You know, we come across that line, and it's like, whoa, I got this with me. I can't. Yeah, I'm going to tell you what. You got to drop that back there. Anybody? That's what you did. God, it's yours. Take it to God. How about my next point right here? Here's what I want to tell you. The guy sitting there, I, not only had I-itis, but look what he said. I have nobody to help me. I put it this way. The loneliest number, anybody know the song? Come on now. Don't sit here, well, I'm too spiritual to know that song. What is it, Three Dog Nights? Anybody? I think it's Three Dog Nights. The loneliest number. I'm not going to sing it. Okay. The loneliest number is what? One. But there is hope in numbers. You've heard there's strength in numbers? I want to tell you, there's hope in numbers. You know what's amazing to me is this. There's another event in Jesus' life. There's another encounter Jesus has. Jesus is in this house, and it is packed. You ain't getting through the doors. I mean, it is packed. People are climbing in the windows, creeping through the windows. It is packed. And there's another lame guy. Another guy paralyzed. But you know what this guy had that this guy didn't? He had four friends. Anybody? Anybody with me on this one? He had four friends. Let me tell you something. If you think you can go through the world by yourself, you are a loser and you're going to lose. Anybody? We need one another. Didn't God say something like that at the very beginning? It is not good for man to be alone. Now, many women in here, if you're married, some of you women are going, yeah, I know it's not good to leave my husband alone. Right? You know, you women, you know, you guys are married. You know, it ain't good to leave him home by himself. Even with the kids, especially with the kids. Come on. You know? But I don't think it's just talking about men, all right? I think it's talking about all of us. It's not good to be alone. We need people around us. We need those around us. This guy had no friends. I think not only was this guy lonely, I mean hopeless, but he was lonely. Why didn't he have friends? You know, I'll give you a little hint here. Maybe one of the reasons he didn't have friends is because he whined about his brokenness. Whoa. Whoa. Here's what I'm going to tell you. Quit whining about your brokenness and go to God. Is that okay? Can I say that? Quit whining about being broke. Financially. Relationship. Whatever it is, quit whining about being... I don't know what this guy's problem, but he had no friends. He compounded hopelessness with loneliness. But what I want to tell you is this. If you want hope, you're not going to get hope by yourself. You need those around you. I like what Solomon said. Anybody here familiar with this one? Two people are better than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. I like the way that translation NLT put that. Fall by yourself, man, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. We need one another. Now, as a pastor, I'm going to tell you, I think some people get too spiritual. Maybe pastors shouldn't say that. But you know what? I've heard people tell me this. I don't need anybody but God. Anybody in the ministry? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody besides me hear that? You know, I don't need anybody but God. All I need is God. I got news for you. You need God, yeah. But you need some others. You need to have some other people around you. You need to have some other relationships around you. You know, we need that acceptance. We need that love. We need that care. We need that affirmation. We need that support. Right now in our church, we've been devastated in our church by several deaths. Anybody familiar? Anybody on board with me? Can we do that alone? The heartache. I'm sitting here wanting to cry right now. Somebody else passed away last night. I'm just hurting for this family. You know? We need one another. You cannot go through life by your, all I need is God. It just aggravates me. So I'm going to tell you, I'm looking here, and I know you guys, okay? If one of you come up and say that to me, can I slap you? Get over yourself. You know? Yeah, you need to cross that line, but you got to get some brothers and sisters in Christ. Come on. You got to have some friends that you can fellowship with. Yeah. I don't know about you, but I was excited yesterday. We had that theater full. Did you know right now that theater, that movie right now, from what I read in the newspaper, is number one, $11 million already. All right? I was watching, reading the newspaper, and it was saying there's this other movie, No Escape or something like that. I can't remember the name of it. It's been in over 3,300 theaters and made something like $4 or $5 million. War Room, 1,100 theaters, $11 million. And that movie is about what? Did Priscilla need somebody? I call Priscilla Shy. I can't remember her name in the movie. Somebody's going to have to help me out. Elizabeth, thank you. Did Elizabeth need somebody in her life? Did Clara need somebody in her life? Did her husband? I like her husband's friend. I like that guy, the paramedic. I enjoyed him. You know? We need one another. We need each other. Look at what it says here. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. But the companion of a fool will suffer harm. I'm just going to pile some verses on real quick. That was Proverbs 13:20. How about Proverbs 17:17? A friend loves all the time. A brother helps in time of trouble. Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpens iron as one man sharpens another. Some of us have been in Promise Keepers. Remember, that's kind of one of our motto verses from Promise Keepers. And I like this last one. Well, I don't know if I should say I like it, but I need it. How's that? An open rebuke is better than hidden love. Wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from an enemy. What do I tell you guys? You need three things. Remember, listen, you need three things in your life. You need a church. You need a church home. You don't just go to church. I'm going to go to this church and then this church and then this church. That's not going to work. You need a church home, a place that you are known and can be known, right? But you also need a small group. We make no bones about that in this church, do we not? You need to get in a Bible study during the week. Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday morning, Friday night, Sunday. We got Bible study. You need to get in a small group. You need that small group of people. But you also need someone who can say the hard things to you. Does that make sense? That last word? An open rebuke is better than a hidden love. Somebody who can say the hard things to you. Somebody needed to come up to this man and say, get up. Do you want to get well? See, I want to challenge you this morning. Do you want to get well? It's dry. Maybe you feel life's dry. Maybe hopeless. Maybe you just don't see it going anywhere. Maybe every time you turn around, it's like, oh, not again. I just can't get over this. And then after this happened, and this happened, and this happened, and it just keeps piling on and piling on, and you just, and it seems like you're just getting buried. And you look around, and it's like, it's dead. Just like that grass, it's dead. Just like that river, it's dead. Just like the lake, it's gone. And it's there, and it's gone. But I want to tell you something. It can change. You know, we look around today in California, we're living this drastic drought. Everybody agree? But you know what? There's been droughts in the past. Now, some of you can remember, I'm not going to say anybody's old, but some of us, some of you can remember the Dust Bowl. Anybody? Don't raise your hand. We don't want to point you out. Yeah. Some of you that have no idea what I'm talking about, did you know part of Oklahoma, part of the dirt in Oklahoma is in Washington, D.C.? Did you guys know that? Literally. There's dirt out of Oklahoma in Washington, D.C., that blew. Nobody took it there in a truck, all right? It was dry. There was a drought. And that blew from Oklahoma to Washington. How about dry? That's dry. But you know what? It rained. Go to Oklahoma now. Beautiful green rolling hills. Matter of fact, Oklahoma, Texas got so much rain, they had some problems this summer and winter. You know, it rained. How many of us can remember the 70s? Anybody been here in the 70s? Some of you guys are just not even seeing. You weren't even live then. Yeah. I remember the 70s going down to college in Riverside. California, Northern California is dead and dry. Dry. And I'm watching people wash their driveways down there because they're taking water out of the river and they're taking my water out of Northern California. And it's like, don't they know there's a drought up there? It rained. If the news is right, I guess we're going to have an El Nino. At least I'm praying we do. Or that we get some significant rain. It's going to rain again. There's hope. Do you want to get well? I think that's a great question. We're all cracked. We all have flaws. We all have issues. I'm going to tell you, there's not a one of us here that doesn't have a problem. And if you're like me, I got more than one. But you know what else I got? I got Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in my life. See, I used to think, oh, this is, you know, I look around in the world today, just pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Some of you guys know that. Some of these kids are going, I have no idea what he's talking about. It means get up and take care of it yourself. You know? But you know what I realized? Because, see, I'm not one to sit around. I look at my family. I'm the only one in church. I had a brother commit suicide. Have another brother who's had some strokes, a sister. No, they're all. Everybody in my family's divorced. My mom and dad. My mom just passed away. They never divorced. But I'm the only one in church. I'm the only one that has life together. I hate to say that. I'm the only one. 30 years of marriage, my brother gets divorced. 40 years, my other brother gets murdered himself. Commits suicide. What made the difference? Gary, pull the boots up on himself. No. 17 years old, I crossed that line. And God changed me. My hope is not in Gary. My hope is in Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. You want hope today? Don't look at America. Don't look at those all. I had like seven things there. I don't remember how many numbers there are. Maybe I can't even count, much less spell. You know, that's not our hope. Our hope is on Jesus. And then surround yourself. Surround yourself by people who know God and love God and walk with God, who will walk with you. Because we're all cracked. I like the church ad that I seen one time. No perfect people allowed. If there was only perfect people allowed in this church, I'd be the first one locked out. What I realized, you know what, this is the funny thing. I finished this sermon, wrote the sermon, wrapped everything all up, was looking it over, making my final notes on it, typing it up Friday night. And here's what I realized when I finished it. I stepped back and I looked at the message. Never thought about this, never noticed this as I wrote it. You know what that message tells you? Two things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your might, with all your strength, and love your neighbor. Isn't that what that message says? It didn't dawn on me till I finished it up. Till I was done. You want hope? Love the Lord thy God and love thy neighbor as thyself. That's where your hope is. It's not in your I. It's in Jesus Christ. Do you want to get well? It's up to you. You can sit there like that man 38 years. Maybe you've been sitting there for 5 years. Maybe you've been sitting there 10 years. Maybe you've been sitting there your whole life and you're sitting there and there's that guilt and there's that regret and there's that brokenness and you're an invalid mentally and emotionally and spiritually and you're an invalid. Do you want to get well? I have nobody to help me. Don't sit there and tell me that this morning. Jesus is reaching down and he wants to touch you. Do you want to get well? Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your words and your wisdom. Lord, that it's not about us. That we are cracked. That all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That we all have issues. We all have regrets. We all have burdens. We all have black spots in our life. We all have darkness. We all are treading on that brown grass. And life just seems so dry sometimes, Lord. But it's not about us. It's about you. It's about your amazing grace. You know, as our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I had you pray earlier, but maybe you still don't feel like you've been set free. Maybe you didn't want to name that thing. I want you to name it right now, and maybe you want me to pray for you. Remember, it says, that's one of the scriptures I really enjoy over in James. It says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you will be healed. Do you want to get well? Raise your hand this morning if you want to get well. I want me to pray for you. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see those hands. Lord, you've seen those hands. You've seen those hearts. They've opened their hearts to you right now, Lord. And so I ask that you just pour your amazing grace into that heart. That you touch them, Lord. Let them know that you've heard them. That you heard that lifted up arm. That you've seen them, Lord. That whatever it is, Lord, whatever it is that has cracked them, that has scarred them, that has burdened them, Lord, that you have set them free. that they are new creatures in your hand, that things have changed, that it's not the same, that they can walk out of here, just as your word said, a new creature in Jesus Christ. Lord, but I ask for you to show it in some way, that not only will they know it in their head, but they will feel it in their heart and they will see it in their lives, that something has happened to them, that the past is truly the past, that they are now new in Christ Jesus. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.